do really appreciate that. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer once again? Ask Him to open our eyes to the truth He has for us. Father, we come before You in humbleness. We are nothing on our own. Anything we ever are or could be that would be worth anything is due unto You in what we might allow You to do in our lives through the working and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's been a good service, and we are thankful for this time now. Speak to our hearts through the words of this prophet of old. May we be attentive, and may You be able to show us what applies to us. And we'll thank You in Your name. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 66. Andrew, if you're looking for a message title to write down, let's call this Lord, Look Here. Lord, Look Here. In Isaiah 66, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?" In a sense, the Lord is asking His readers, everything is mine. Heaven's my throne, the earth is my footstool. What do you have to offer, in a sense? "For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord." And the Lord is saying, as you think about what I just mentioned in verse 1, these things have always been since the very beginning of creation. And my hands made those, and these things have been in existence from day one. But to this man will I look. Thus our message titled, Lord, Look Here. After the Lord has asked His readers, what could You offer me that I've made ever, heaven, earth, all of these things, they're in existence because I have made them. But, He said, let me tell you, to this man will I look. As we think about that question, let me just read Proverbs 15:3, and you don't need to turn to it. I'm just reading a reference. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And in Proverbs 5:21, it says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all his goings." As we put these two references together from Proverbs, in light of what Isaiah the prophet is asking, we come to this conclusion. It is true that the Lord is looking all the time at everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his ways. But the verse that I want us to look at this evening is to realize there is a different way that the Lord looks at some individuals. And it might just be, maybe you're that kind of a person that the Lord looks at. We've looked at the Lord's knowledge of all the things in the universe in verses 1 and the first part of that second verse. But we notice that unusual statement about some people. For you note takers, your first point, why don't you write down number 1, special interest. Special interest. Because the verse says, I've made all of these things, and all of these things have always been. I keep them going, this, that, and the other thing. But to this man will I look. To this man will I look. God has, though he sees everything, Isaiah is telling us God has a special interest in certain people. Certain people. And it is kind of an unusual statement. To this man will I look. I will look intently at this one. I will regard with pleasure this one. He knows all. He sees all. But you know, some bring great pleasure to him. Do you know what that is? Has that got you sitting on the edge of your seat a little bit? I wonder, what might the things be that would bring great interest to the Lord, who knows everything, he sees everything, but there are some things that he is greatly pleased with. What are the features or the requirements? That brings us to point number 2. After we've seen special interest, and the Lord put it very simply, but I've made all these things, but to this one, this man is in italics, one person, will I look? What are the number 2 specific requirements that would cause the Lord to specifically look in a certain direction? Well, let's see what he has to say. And if we look at this last part of this second verse, there are 3 specific requirements that he makes note of. A. To this man will I look. To him that is poor. To him that is poor. Now, while there may be some individuals who, as you're sitting here listening, you might say, I found something that I really qualify as. I don't have much material possessions in this world. I'm a poor person. I look at you. And you know what? God has blessed our church family so much materially. And that's to God's glory. Not everybody is as blessed as this congregation is, materially speaking. We have so much. We have so much. Now, there may be individuals who qualify who have no material possessions. But this word has nothing to do with money. You can just write that down on your notes. To this man or one will I look, even to him that is poor, has nothing to do with bank accounts. Well, what does it have to do with then? Instead, it has to do, this is the one that the Lord is referring to as a poor one. One who is humble. They're not proud. They're not always in the limelight. They are meek. They're meek. They're willing to let others get the glory for certain things and be recognized. And they are lowly. They are lowly. They're humble. They're meek. They're lowly. They're poor. They're poor in spirit. Let's look at some places where this is found elsewhere in Scripture. You can find it, for instance, in Psalm 34, for you note takers, verse 6. Psalm 34, verse 6. It says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. While it might have had reference to some financial troubles, it seems as though the context is not that at all. But this man was willing to humble himself and turn his problems over to the Lord. This poor man, rather than, I'm going to make this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to work this out, this poor man, instead, he simply and humbly lifted his eyes to the Lord and he cried, Lord, help me, help me. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That's a poor man. That's a poor woman. And as we look at our text, it says, to this man, and since it's in italics, you could put woman or girl there. Ha ha! And you're not going to take away the inspiration of Scripture. The italics indicates you don't find it in the original. But somebody added it to give it a little more understandability. And for you gals, you could put this poor woman, girl, cried. And it's to this one will I look. And so it's someone that is poor. Look at Psalm 72, verse 12. 72, verse 12 says, he shall deliver the needy when he crieth. Can we stop right there and diagnose dialogue? What do you used to call that thing when you diagram? There you go. It's been a long time
since I've added the English grammar. But we used to dialogue or diagram certain things. Here we go. This he shall deliver the needy. When? When he sees you have a need? When he sees that I have a need? We might say, well, you know, I'm just trusting the Lord to meet my needs. What's this verse say is the context of the Lord meeting our needs?
Crying.
Pardon?
Crying.
When we ask for it. When we cry out. And that's exactly what the psalmist says here. He shall deliver the needy when he crieth. Maybe we need to put that in our pocket and think about that. Maybe that's one of the reasons. I think it was our Lord who said, you have not because you what?
Ask
not. But he knows what I need. That's right. But he expects us to what? Cry out. Ask for it. That is the poor in spirit. That is one who is willing to humble themselves and say, Lord, I need your help. Would you please meet this need? Some people are too proud. Too proud to ask. You say there really can't be people like that. We know there can, don't we? We know. Look at Psalm 86. Psalm 86. In Psalm 86, verse 1, he says this. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me. For I am poor and needy. These, the poor and needy ones, these are the ones that the Lord says here in Isaiah. These are the ones that I especially look unto. Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed is the poor in what? Spirit. You say, oh, that just makes me feel kind of strange. You know, I kind of like I'm just trying to present myself as something I'm really not. No, that's what the Lord wants us to be presenting ourselves as. And he says here, blessed are the poor in spirit who aren't going around putting on a show all the time. And he says, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Matthew 5, 3. Well, we looked at this first requirement. So this man will I look here in Isaiah 66, 2. And the first specific requirement was poor. Even to him that is poor. But there's a second requirement. Because Isaiah goes on, and I look to the one who's number two of a contrite spirit. One who is of a contrite spirit. Does anybody know what a contrite spirit is?
Opposite of proud.
Opposite of proud? Okay. Contrite spirit.
Repentant?
Pardon?
Repentant?
repentant, okay? They're certainly not going around creating problems everywhere with a contrite spirit. We're told this word just simply means smitten. There is no pride. There is no self-will. In other words, they're willing to be a what?
Servant.
A what?
Servant.
A nobody. To this person, I will look. Not someone who's going around with the contrite, cantankerous spirit causing trouble everywhere they go, but one who is smitten. They know that they are nothing apart from their Lord. Let's look at Psalm 34. Verse 18, Psalm 34, verse 18. And it tells us the Lord is nigh or near unto those that are of a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. My Bible has in a little footnote here, crushed is the explanation of a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit doesn't go around boasting and is not trying to put others down by showing them how great they are and how great things they can accomplish. That's not a contrite spirit. That's not a crushed spirit. Psalm 51, verse 17. It tells us this. The sacrifices of God. What is a suitable sacrifice for God? The psalmist goes on and he says, here's the sacrifices of God. Number one, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Broken spirit, contrite heart. That sounds like here's a person that has come to the place where they're not trying to put on a show. They're not trying to impress everybody of how great they are and what an important person they are. No, the sacrifices of God, the thing that God is pleased with is one who has a broken spirit, not a proud spirit, and a contrite heart, one that is smitten. They're not going around with false ideas about themselves. Let's look at Isaiah 57, 15. Isaiah 57, 15. I don't know whether you like to mark verses in your Bible, but if you do, Isaiah 57, 15 is a good one to mark. It says, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's a good verse to mark so that you can, when you're thinking about it in the days ahead. Well, where was that verse? I know it was in Isaiah somewhere. That's why it's nice to decently mark your Bible. We do need to take care of it. But you know what? We come to some of these things and I think they're so good. Oh, we need to just carefully mark that down so I can get my... This is the one who inhabits eternity, who dwells in the high and holy places, says, this with him... No, let me get that verse. I dwell in the high and holy place with this kind of a person. Sometimes I can't get those words to be there where I'm looking at. That's the kind of person the Lord, who inhabits eternity, dwells with in the high and holy places. Go back to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, and in verse 6 it says, though the Lord be high, that's right, he inhabits the high and holy place. But the psalmist says, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth from afar. How about it? Is he looking your way yet? Remember in Isaiah 66, it says, to this man will I look. This one gets my attention, God says. First of all, the poor. We've covered that. Secondly, this is the one that I look at. The one that is of a contrite spirit. And then thirdly, we see here back in our text in Psalm or in Isaiah 66:2, I look unto this man, that's number one, poor, number two, of a contrite spirit, and number three, trembleth at my word. Trembleth at my word. What does that mean? Trembleth at my word. Does that mean God likes to find people who shake in their boots when they read his word? And they can't sit still, they're so fearful, they're so anxious. Actually, this word, trembleth at my word, honestly means to be in awe, A-W-E, or reverence at the word of God. To be in awe or reverence at the word of God. This is God's word. I need to be careful how I handle it, what I say of it, what I do with it. Do I believe it? Do I allow it to shape my life, as we were talking this morning, even about that hot topic on the lips of people today, even Denise's testimony, the gays, the transgender, this, that, and the other thing. Oh, it's on everybody's lips in the world, but you know what? We need to be in awe about what God's Word says. He didn't leave us in the dark. He didn't leave us, well, you just decide what the position needs to be. No, he has shown us, he has told us, and one that trembles at his word is going to be one that is in awe or reverence, where we say, this is what God's Word says, and by His grace, I want to live up to that.
Let's look at a couple of good illustrations as we kind of bring this to a close this evening. Turn, if you would, to Ezra 9. Ezra 9. Let me just kind of run you through where we're at here in Ezra 9. It says here, if you look at verse 1, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands. God's people were to be separate, weren't they? But here, the report is they have not separated themselves from the people, and they're doing according to the abominations of these different nations. In verse 2, they've taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of these lands. Was it God's intention for his people to just intermarry and mingle among, or did he intend his people to remain true to their nationality? I think we know the answers. And he says, the princes and the rulers have been the leaders in this trespass in verse 2. And Ezra says, when I heard this, I tore my garment, my mantle, I plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and I sat down astounded or confounded. It just blew him away. But our verse is here in verse 4. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of God. Remember what we said tremble means? It doesn't mean to shake in your boots, but it is to have an awe and reverence for what God's word says. And he said, then everyone, they started coming to me. These who had a respect and a concern for what God has said in his word because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And he said, I sat astonished is what it should be. That's your old King James word. Until the evening sacrifice. Look at 10:3. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble, respect, stand in awe at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. That group of people said, we recognize we have done wrong, and we are willing to do right because we respect God's word. We tremble at it. That's what that word means. Look at 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings 22, and I'm going to give you an illustration here where we don't actually find the word trembleth, but it's certainly what is being illustrated in 2 Kings 22. We've got some verses to read, and with this we'll close. I begin in verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, they delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, and that are doing the repairs, the oversight, all that needs to be done to fix things up. That's what he's saying. Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest
hath delivered to me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Is that trembling at the word of God? Showing awe and respect. When he heard God's word and the truth and was smitten with conviction, knowing that we have not lived up to this, we go on. Verse 20, the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah the servant of the king, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed this. They have not hearkened unto this, these words, to do these things. The king sent some of the priests and he said, you got to go ask the Lord, what kind of trouble are we in? Because we have so disobeyed and disregarded God's word. So verse 14, Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, Asahiah, went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of this book which the king of Judah hath read, because they forsaken me, they burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, I want you to tell him this. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which you have heard, concerning this, verse 19, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and have rent your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, I'm going to gather you unto your fathers, and you're going to be gathered unto your grave in peace, and your eyes, you're not going to see any of this evil that I am going to bring upon this place. What a blessing. What a blessing. No, we didn't find the word tremble at the word of the Lord, but you certainly saw in the actions. What's that have to do with our message tonight? Back in Isaiah 66, remember, this was the prophet's message. To this man will I look. To him that is number one, poor, has nothing to do with money. Number two, of a contrite heart, smitten. And three, trembles or is in awe or reverence of what my word is teaching. The prospect
of the Lord looking intently with pleasure is quite a thought, isn't it? Here's a question in closing. Would any here dare suggest, Lord, look at me? Lord, look here. I'm what you're looking for. We know what he's looking for. May God help us accomplish it to his glory. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your enablement this evening to share the truth of your word. Thank you for this profound. What a, I guess if we look at it, we could say with proper respect, what a simple verse of scripture to spell out these three things that you're specifically looking for. Lord, do you see any of those things in any of us? You know our hearts. I pray that we would each be serious with you in our prayer life, in the life that we live, and that it might be our desire before you to work on having for your glory the three things you're looking for in our daily walks. We ask this according to your